It's time for Douglas County Real Estate Update, presented by Oregon Life Homes on News Radio 1240, KQEN.
And joined this morning by Aaron Cherry on the phone with us for our weekly look at the world of real estate locally and its impacts elsewhere as well. Aaron, good morning.
Good morning, Kyle. It's great to be with you.
So what do you want to focus on this morning?
Well, this morning I want to cover a couple of big picture items that are going to be important in the, especially the next year here. Specifically, the Federal Reserve had another one of their meetings this last week, okay, on Tuesday and Wednesday, and they paused hiking their interest rate, okay? And this is not the mortgage rate. This is the overnight rate from the Fed. But this has implications that ripple throughout the financial markets, and it was expected. There was a high probability that they were going to pause their rate hikes, which they did at this meeting. This is the second pause that they have done. They did this exact same thing back in June. They paused the rate at 5.25%, and now they've paused it for 2 months in a row at 5.5%. And that's after 10 consecutive rate hikes since March of 2022. So from March of 2022 until July of this year, they increased the rate every single meeting for 10 consecutive meetings. And now they're starting to pull back a little bit and pause on their rate hikes. So they aren't lowering it, definitely not, but they are keeping it where it's at, which is continuing to have a tighter monetary policy. Now, what is interesting is that from the Fed minutes and their forecasts, they did seem to indicate that according to them and the way that they look at the American economy, that the indications they look at, such as inflation and job creation, is still relatively strong. And so they are going to keep hiking rates possibly one more time this year. And most notably, they're likely going to keep rates over 5% through all of 2024. This is just their forecasting. And that does modify and change at each of their meetings. But that was pretty significant. So if anyone who, you know, was waiting to have mortgage rates drop below 7%, in the next year or so, that's probably not going to happen based on what they just said.
So now people can kind of take that information and plot exactly when they want to jump in the market or whether they're going to wait for a while.
Exactly. Yep. And that's what we're seeing is some people are thinking, you know what? We'll just sit out this time around. We're gonna wait until things change. And I don't, we don't blame them completely, because when you do look at the numbers, when you really dig into it, your typical mortgage payment, okay, it's increased substantially, and not only has it increased, anywhere from $800 to $1,000. Let's just say on a loan of $300,000, okay, in Douglas County, on a loan of $300,000, when you change the interest rate from around 3%. To 7.5%, which is where it's at today, your monthly P&I, so your principal and interest payment, changes from about $1,250 a month to over $2,000 a month, almost $2,100 a month. But get this, this is also a clincher. Not only does your mortgage increase by that much, which is $800 to $900, the amount that goes toward of your monthly payment that goes toward your principal decreases, because that's the way the amortization works. So in the first payment of $1,250. Over $500 of that goes toward principal. That's 41%. But when you are paying $2,000, only $223 of that goes toward principal, and that's 10%. So your payment is going considerably more towards interest and less toward principal, and that is a bit of a discouragement to many people who are looking to buy a home. Not only has the total payment increased, but you feel like you're just paying through the nose for borrowing this money.
And probably a good reason to work hard at increasing the amount that you're able to put down.
Yes. Yep. The federal loans that have enabled low down payments, or in many cases, no down payment at all, those loans are pretty expensive now. And so for someone to, it's always been a good idea to have money for a down payment and to pay some of your closing costs. But especially now, if you have somewhat of a decent job and you do have the ability to save some, Definitely encourage you to save for a down payment. It's a pretty classic thing to do, and there's no shame at all in having money to put towards a home purchase.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those strategies to look at, especially in the long term, and maybe even if you're fortunate and able to have, for instance, a 15-year loan versus a 30.
Yep, that does change the calculations that way. But along the side of, you know, saving, I think that's a good topic to cover very briefly this morning. Last week, we talked about how, you know, credit card balances are over $1 trillion in the nation. People are increasing their credit card balances, their savings at all-time lows. And so the question then is, okay, what's really going on, especially with inflation and people's purchasing power? Inflation was low in July. It kind of bottomed out near 3%, or June, excuse me. But now in July and August, it started to tick back up toward, you know, 4%. And these are numbers reported by the government, which you kind of have to take with a grain of salt, because they change what they're measuring, and they include items and they exclude items to make it look a certain way. And so you just have to understand what items they are considering. And so my intuition tells me that the boots on the ground experience for most people who are either considering buying or just surviving, honestly, is that inflation is much worse than 3 to 4%. And we're seeing that by they're dipping into their savings. You know, they're not adding to their savings, they're withdrawing from their savings, and they're increasing on their credit card balances. And then put on, you know, if that wasn't, you know, discouraging enough, and that is a difficult scenario. Now we have something very interesting happening this next month in October, and that is student loan debt in our nation. Okay. It's kind of been on the back burner. Some people have forgotten about it, but now it's coming back, rearing its ugly head again. And since March of 2020, when COVID hit, the government put everybody, you know, they gave them the option to be in forbearance, meaning they didn't have to make their payments. Starting in October, you've got pretty much 44 million Americans that are going to be required to start paying their student loan again. And that works out to be, you know, about, for your typical family that has student loan, about $400 a month of additional expenditures that they have not had for the last 3 years.
Well, and there's something to factor in as well. And I know for a lot of people, that is going to mean a bit of a struggle.
Oh, absolutely. Well, here's a quiz for you, Kylie. Let's see if you can take a swing at it. You know, of the 44 million Americans that have student loan debt, was, you know, not all of them were in forbearance. There's a percentage that are still paying, a percentage that have taken that, taking the forbearance. So do you have a guess of, you know, right now, before all of the students are required to, except the ones that are, you know, in school right now, which is about 6 million. But the vast majority, let's say actually probably mid-30s, so 30 to 35 million Americans are going to have to start paying on their student debt again. Do you have a guess on how many of those students are actually paying on their debt right now, even though they have the option of forbearance?
I would say maybe 25%.
It's much, much lower than that, between 300,000 and 500,000 out of 35 million Americans are actually paying on their student debt right now. So there's a huge portion that are not paying on their student debt and are not experiencing, you know, the cost of that debt repaying it. And so there's going to be, I think that there's a good, and here's the other thing, here's the other clincher. The 55% of the debt is in the age bracket of people who are, you know, between 20 and 39 years old. Those are the vast majority of students. 55% are the ones who have the bulk of the debt. And we're sitting at $1.6 trillion of student debt. So we're talking $880 billion of debt on that age range. And that age range right now is the biggest population of Americans who are moving into the home buying age. So for those who are talking about, we've got a huge supply and demand problem, it's true. We don't have enough housing for all these people. But they also are just saddled with all kinds of debt, and it's more specifically student debt. And that's going to have, a pretty significant impact on affordability for this specific age range, 20 to 39 years old. They're going to have to start making payments again on their student debt.
And as we wrap up, Aaron, how do folks get in touch with Oregon Life Homes?
They can look us up online at theoregonlife.com, or they can give us a call directly at 541-391-4945.
All right, Aaron, thanks for being on this morning.